is in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watching for Jesus program this afternoon on a Monday, 27th of January. Welcome. We are live today, and I had to break in for the broadcast. We have the 24-hour loop going now, and it took me a while to get that figured out and elicit some assistance and so forth and so on, and it works so far. So, family, a lot's going on in the background. A lot of false flag notions and threats, and here comes the boonies, and here comes the false flags. And I got a question. When's a false flag not a false flag? When a false flag is predicted, the ones responsible are identified, even told when and where and how it's going to be done, is that still a false flag? I've always wondered about that. You know, when's a false flag not a false flag? When you already know when it's going to happen, where and how and who and so forth. Really odd question, isn't it? False flags when it happens and you blame somebody else, and it's always a surprise. After all, they've occurred throughout our history and have been surprises. Lexington and Concord. Firing on Fort Sumter. Lusitania. Sinking of the Maine. Shall I continue? Okay, I shall. Pearl Harbor, 9-1-1, Haiphong Harbor, oh man, so many of them, all false flags, all have been done by the Jesuits, secret societies, Druids, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, your secret societies, Jesuits, Illuminati families, of which there's at least 26 Royal blue bloodlines, Italian, German, Irish. It's one of the worst. And I'm Irish. Scottish, Irish, English. Every nationality is part of the blue bloodline. And it's names that you haven't even heard of before. Most of them are Italian or German. That's the real culprits. But it doesn't stop there. I don't like stopping just where, you know, you feel comfortable. It solves your problem. I like to dig deeper into what's really going on. I don't like just partial information. The full information is all of these blue bloodline families of your kings and queens and billionaires and trillionaires and full of heirs and whatever heirs they are all nothing more than mere human slaves of the fallen angels. They will do the bidding of the humans, of the fallen angels, the demons that they work for, or they will die, or they will kill their family members, or they see these secret societies are bound by a blood oath. They're under bondage. They're slaves of their own choosing. The kings and queens of this world are nothing more than bound to the supernatural, and they step out of line. They know they will die. So they have no other choice but to fight the other way around and go after those below them. But here's the other tricky point, is they've already lost this war. They lost at the cross of Calvary. That's when they lost. And now what they're trying to do is regain the momentum by defeating Jesus Christ before he gets back, or when he gets back, at Armageddon. And if they can't do that, then they will take as many souls to hell with them that they can possibly do. Now, that's really what's going on today. I know there's Fukushima and there's Agenda 21 and there are FEMA camps and guillotines and little colored dots on your mailboxes. I don't know what else. And they got Chinese soldiers in America and they got Russian soldiers in America and they got, you know, all these riots going on and dollars going to crash and there's a meteorite streaking toward Earth to destroy it, and I don't know what else. It's going to hit the water and cause a tsunami or something or another. All that's, you know, here and there, and then false flag for the Super Bowl is being talked about. However, some of these false flags just may happen. When it does, you know you're in the next paradigm. You're in the next part of this chapter of the human race. Now, you can go down here to Robbie's Army Surplus Store or gun shop down here if you want to, so I'm told, and buy all kinds of rounds of 22 long rifle if you want to. I call that a BB gun on steroids. A 22 rifle is good for game hunting, and if you're really, really good at it, you might shoot somebody in the eyeball. Maybe it'll go through the eyeball into the brain, you know, or the neck or something if they hold still long enough. Whatever you're into, you know. I don't think it's going to work real well against a Spitznaz unit. No, a 22 might not work. But in any case, there's almost so much game you can shoot. You know what I mean? And there's almost, they're going after the water. You don't think these people hadn't thought of everything possible? You see? So, you know, you can stock up on ammo and freeze-dried food and, I don't know, all this stuff if you won't. Learn how to live off the land and get a, you know, build you a log cabin somewhere all you want. But family, I can promise you something. There's not one human being that's ever lived since the day Adam and Eve got together. You understand what I mean? Every human being between then and now and probably in the future until God says enough will ever escape judgment. It's impossible to happen. Not even conceivable. Every human being that's ever lived, literally, and them being dead, obviously, over 6,000, 7,000 years, doesn't make a lick a bit of difference. Because when God created Adam and Eve out of nothing, he can bring back the ones that were living before. Because their souls have not annihilated. You see, understand this. I'm going to be cremated, so maybe I'll escape the judgment. You're not going to escape nothing. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those which are alive and well will be carried on up. But in the meantime, at the end of the thousand-year millennium reign, which hadn't even started yet, by the way, is the great white throne judgment. And that's the judgment of every human being that's ever lived since the dawn of mankind that rejected Jesus Christ, even though they were given the opportunity. Those that rejected Jesus Christ, and Masons are 100% wrong. Not all of human beings will go through the great white throne. The Bible confirms only those that reject Jesus Christ. They will be pulled out of hell, torment, for a period of time for their judgment. And everything they've said, done, or thought otherwise will be flashed before them. How God does that, I don't know and I don't care. That's His business, not mine. Way over my pay grade. God will relive for them the opportunities they had and rejected. And then once their judgment's been given to them, they're going back to torment. Now, those who take Jesus Christ as Savior of their own free will then have the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a whole different judgment. The two won't be together. It's in the Bible. Now, you can make up your own Bible if you want to. Go on. You can, like Thomas Jefferson did, or Ellen Baker, something or another, White, I don't care what. Charles Taze Russell, or Joseph Smith, or Muhammad, whatever, can write whatever you want to write. I can sit down here and write my own Bible if I want to. It don't make it true, not one bit. Only true Word of God is the King James Bible. That's with evidence, too. This is doggone evidence keeps getting in the way. King James. We're going to talk about him today. Family, this ain't time to play around. Not time to play. You know. But judgment seat of Christ is in God's time. It's before the thousand-year millennium starts. Judgment seat of Christ for all those that take Jesus as Savior of their own free will. They've been given plenty of opportunity. Will then be judged or rewarded for what they did. There'll be others to be in heaven that will be ashamed because flesh before them will be the opportunities they turned down of the rewards they, of the opportunities they had to witness. There's five rewards going. I'm not going to cover it right now, but there's five crowns. And some will not even get one crown, but at least they made it to heaven by fire because they accepted Jesus as Savior, but they didn't do what they could with what they had. But they made it by fire. Down south here, we say by the skin of your teeth. But you accepted Jesus as Savior. Okay. You just wasn't fruitful with it. That's not a sin. That's a failure, but not a sin. Those that sinned and didn't repent are going to hell for eternity. You know, all this new stuff about they're coming up, there is no hell. They can make up what they want to. You know, they can say Elmer Fudd's down there ferreting out who is and who isn't. If they want to, it don't make it true, though. The King James Bible is a solemn doctrine of God. Not written by human hands, but guided by the Spirit of God. That's a fact, you see. If you say, well, no, it's not. And I say, okay, fine. Then tell me what Bible you're using. And they never tell you. They never give my... I say, no problem. What Bible you use? Where's God's Bible? What book did He give you? What's within? Within what? Within you, huh? Yeah. Mankind's done so well so far, right? I don't think so. Mankind does not have dimensional capacity. I don't have a problem admitting it. I don't have the dimensional capacity of a God. Not even remotely. That's all I can do to keep from being a sinner. I'm doing the best I can. I've been a sinner most of my life. God got a hold of me, but He had to slap me a couple times real hard with a baseball bat. Aluminum, to be exact. Because I'm stubborn. Hard-headed. But He took that away from me, from His point of view. And I follow Him and Him alone. No country, no flag, no republic, no democracy. None of that. Man, I follow Jesus Christ. And His kingdom. That's all I don't go into flags and all that. There's no flags in heaven. I look at the bigger picture. I don't look at the small picture. All the flags, countrysides, and all that has been designed by Satan. Every single one of them. Even sovereignty was created by Satan in order to divide and separate mankind so in order to foment a war. And that's with evidence as well. I'm sorry, but it is. I had to face this. I joined the Marine Corps. Why? in the Vietnam era. I joined. I didn't make it. Within 2 months, they shut down before I graduated from college. I was in college and was going to become an officer in the Marines and volunteer for Vietnam. How dumb was that? But nevertheless, that's what I was going to do and go fight for my country because a bunch of commies over there. Well, I want to kill me a couple. Why? Because of my obligation. That was what I was thinking, right? That's the way it was. Of course, I've explained to you all in my archives, you can, when I did a historical research on the wars, how they really came about and what really happened. I'm not going that right now. I'm dedicated to broadcast here pretty quick. And so I'm just touching the surface, a little commentary before I dedicate the broadcast and get to it. Family, everything I'm telling you is a fact. You know, it's documented, researched. I don't trust my judgment anymore because I was raised human. Humans were completely clouded by seven areas that they controlled since the day we were born. This is a fact. And they're called the Ashram Rays. And in fact, they have objectives, milestones, councils, committees that have fomented these seven areas exactly the way they wanted. Education, philosophy, which is a worthless piece of trash, of course. Religion, worthless. Science, arts, politics, and finance. You see, religion is not about God. Religion is about gods, plural. God is not about religion or even Christianity. God is about your redemption and your salvation. He's the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. Christianity is so divided. You've got Mormons, Baptists, it's got different doctrines. You've got all these religions, Presbyterian, which is watered down Roman Catholicism. You've got Scientology. You've got Mormonism. You've got Jehovah's Witness. I said that already. You've got Unitarianism, Universalism, ism, 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 rheumatism, whatever. You got all these isms and ists and crats and whatever. Family, that's to keep you all divided. And countries divided in order to fight. Now, when you get tired of fighting, it's called chaos. It's quite the understatement. Then Satan will bring order under his conditions. But only for a short time. And he will be sent to hell, along with the fallen angels and all those who follow them. They will not have this world for an eternity. They can't live that long anyway. The entire earth and world is in entropy. Think about it for a minute. Everything that makes up this world is in entropy. Nothing advanced, nothing evolutionizes. Evolves. Gosh, that was terrible. Nothing evolves. Mutation is not evolution. Mutation is simply missing something. So how is it evolution even happened there, so-called scientist? When everything's in entropy, it's winding down or slowing down. How was that evolution? And how is missing something turn into something that then continues on? No, it dies because it's missing something. Think about it. Even the universe is slowing down. Do you know why they have to keep up with, you know, a 1G phone, 2G, 3G, or you, in my day it was a 286, a 386. Man, when I bought me a 486 computer, I thought I was hot stuff. Now 486 you can't even find in the Smithsonian Institution. They won't even keep them there for display. So a 486, now what they got? Man, a handheld device today, if you had equivalent to that in the 70s, would fill up an entire room. You know why they do that? You think because of scientific advances, right? No. Here's why. Because everything they got is an entropy. God keeps changing their frequency. God keeps changing the materials to where it degrades. So they got to keep upgrading because God caused it to degrade. Entropy. Yeah. Now, what's going to happen is, and the scientists know this, it's in the know. Yeah, buddy. They know they're going to come up against a brick wall because they know they will not be able to advance any further. Because God will put a stop to them just like a brick wall and a styrofoam paper airplane or something. There'll be no upgrading anything. God will put a complete total stop on it. There's nowhere else to go. You won't have no 7G phone. You see, they know that day's coming. The scientists in the know do. Other people think, oh, we're going to advance. We're going to be like George Jetson, you know, climb up my hayloft and there I go on my UFO, whatever, you know, I'll fly downtown on my own little aircraft, you know, whatever. That's what they got these dreams of. Masons think they're going to do that. It ain't going to happen. Because the reason they got to keep upgrading is because the devices they have are rotting, rusting, losing frequency vibration and start burning up. Yeah, they catch on fire. That's what upgrading's all about. Because we keep running out of memory, keep running out of space, keep running out of materials. It all degrades. When are they going to catch on that through Jesus Christ, supernaturally, is the only answer? You're not going to find computers in heaven. They ain't up there. And when Jesus Christ comes back with his saints, his angels, they're not going to be bringing down here heavenly computers that's linked up to some kind of heavenly .net up in heaven. It ain't going to happen. We'll go back the way it was. Primitive is not bad. Primitive means you're focusing not on putting my nose up against this, what have I got, a blackberry, blueberry, redberry, that's a blackberry or whatever. I won't have it up there. Yeah, you know, won't be any TV up there neither. Because after tribulations gets done, there's not going to be technology. People aren't thinking about this. They're not thinking about it. They got 6,000 inventions that's not been released yet. And that's a carrot, a rotten carrot, that they're holding in front of the Freemasons and others to think that they're going to release them. When they have total control of the world governments, they're going to release all this technology. Well, they're lying to you. They're going to depopulate and they're going to kill. I mean, literally kill, execute all Masons who know too much, and all those underneath that's not at that high level will die as if by some illness, unquote. Protocols, chapter 15. Read it yourself. But when y'all start dying off, when they have to control, and your brotherhood starts dying off, you wonder why? I've just told you why. And it will happen. That's a guarantee. It's documented. And you'll even find it in the Bible. Psalms 34:21 is right there. You see? That Bible covers everything. Now, how'd they do that? How'd that Bible, those people that were Bedouins and never saw a computer in their life, didn't even know what a car was, can you imagine, could predict the future so perfectly? How in the world did they manage that? Because they were guided by the Spirit. They were guided by God. They were guided by through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit led them on supernaturally. It wasn't done by mankind. By the inspiration of God, that Bible came to us, and it's perfect too. Well, there's 1,001 ways that you can discredit the Bible. They can't even come up with one. They believe they can, but every time, if you know your Bible, and if you don't even know your Bible, you say, I'll get back to you. Within 24 hours, you'll figure it out and you'll blow them away. I promise you. Because they don't have the knowledge that the Bible has. The Bible is way beyond their comprehension. Because they have an agenda. And that agenda kills you every time. Family, dedicate the broadcast. I've been talking a little longer than I wanted to in the first place. And I believe in hitting the ground running. Sometimes I got to slow up a little bit. But family, I feel, just my opinion here, that there's a sense of urgency with what's going down. I don't know what. I'm not a prophet by no stretch of imagination. I just have in my bones, I just feel something's going on. That something's getting ready to hit. Now, I don't know what, and I don't know when. But these rascals, these silly rascals, are up to something. Because, you see, they have to warn you before they do anything. They have to warn you. That's a requirement. you see. Lord, today we come before you in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to come together in this opportunity, in this broadcast. And Father, we thank you for the for your Holy Bible. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit to keep us all together. We thank you, Father, and to give us knowledge, wisdom, discernment. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. That through him we are able to go to heaven, Lord, and be with you. But Father, we know that there's going to be trials and tribulations in our lives. That Father, we know this is to strengthen us. And Father, for these trials and tribulations, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, and when I know that these trials and tribulations are there to get us ready for the war yet to happen. Father, we do pray for our loved ones who are in the hospitals, that, Lord, when you bring them home, I know, Father, you'll give them the opportunity. And Father, we know that's between you and them. But, Father, we pray for them that you set up divine appointments, that they will lead them in the path to accept Jesus Christ. That when that opportunity, that, Father, somehow their hearts will be softened, not hardened, that, Lord, that they'll accept Jesus as their Savior. Father, we pray for the return of our servicemen and women in all the services. And Father, your Holy Spirit will be with them, that will guide them away from the thoughts of suicide, to set up divine appointments, Father, in some way that turns them to the truth. And to take away that anger, Lord, that somehow these divine appointments you can set up, that you take them away from the anger and the hate that they have, or the post-traumatic stress which had been induced on them, Lord, and the microchips in those pills and the vaccinations that's got the microchips in them, the nanobots and all that mess going on. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will render it null and void. And Father, that you bring down and take down those chemtrail planes, if it be your will, Lord, that we know that things are increasing against the Savior and against the true Word of God. But Lord, for those that are still yet on that fence, that Father, we know you have long enduring patience, that Lord, you'll set up the divine appointments, that they'll come off that fence. But Father, we know about the supernatural realm that is the Wicca that's pervading in this country and in the world now at the same time. And Father, that's why we pray. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, ourselves, and our families, and everything that belongs to us. And Lord, we ask you for giant warrior angels now to be loose from heaven, and those to surround and protect us, Lord. And as your war club and weapons of war, to break down and undam and blow up all walls protection around all these Wicca, these witches and warlocks, these wizards, Satanists and all the like. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all curses, the hexes, the vexes, the spells, the charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, the psychic thought, all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, bewitchments, death, destruction, the sickness, pain, torment, the psychic power, psychic warfare, the prayer chains be broken up, and everything else being sent my way, our way, or our family member's way. And return it and the demons to the senders right now, back to them sevenfold, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we also pray that these lost souls that's left will find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares, their own traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we ask that you also bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, we're into fighting against witchcraft, which pervades in our government, pervades in the European governments, all of them, every single one. Scandinavia, Russia, China, Africa, every country on the face of this planet is involved in this satanic conspiracy at the highest level, bar none, no exception. And this is proven by their table of organization, the names, dates, times, places, quotes, you name it. It's solid. But they lose. They've lost. Someone once told me that all we're doing right now is counting the casualties. Because the war has been won, literally, at the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ took it back to him. Now he's going to occupy it, but that will be after Armageddon. Armageddon is 7 years after the first seal. And the first seal has not been broken yet. And there's not one theologian, evangelist, or so-called prophet that can prove otherwise. They won't do it. They can't do it. It's impossible. Now, they'll tell you Wormwood was Chernobyl. It's not Chernobyl. That's sheer nonsense. That's what it is. The Antichrist has not appeared yet. But the falling away of the end will not come until the falling away and the man of sin has been revealed. And that has not happened. The second seal, the red horse, is war. It's not communism. It's ridiculous. It is war. It is the third, the real third world war, not the fake garbage they got coming up now, whatever it is. Oh, they may take out a whole city. I don't know. But that's still not going to be it. They got to bring chaos to bring order. So they'll create chaos, bring order, disclosure of this alien lie that they're going to come up with. And you got yourself Sanan Emanuel. The one calls himself Yeshua, Jeshua. That's the fake Jesus. They will discredit the King James Bible, say it's been misused, misinterpreted, and people will actually see on TV publicly or wherever how they're going to pull it off, Project Blue Beam or whatever nonsense they're going to come up with, supernatural whiz-bang smoke, mirrors, and technology to convince people that there's aliens out there and there's no aliens out there. There's no ascended masters out there. There's supernatural out there, that's for sure. And the supernatural has taken on physical form since the day this world was created. It's called the sons of God of the Old Testament. Took the daughters of men and created Nephilim. Giants beyond your imagination. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up at all. They were killed in the flood. They drowned. That was the purpose of the flood. Start all over again. The second wave of fallen angels came down with Nimrod. Nimrod was the weak link. Satan always looks for the weak link. Nimrod, son of Cush. Cush, son of Ham. You see? And that's when it began again. And that was the beginning of the secrets of the ancient mystery religions. Nimrod, witchcraft, alchemy, the guided evolution of changing DNA, manipulating DNA, the formation of the different races, because God separated the races when he changed the languages of the Tower of Babel. Then the races started developing because of their locations in different parts of the world. Changes DNA, different languages, changes DNA. It affects the advancement of the physical DNA properties. That was the beginning of the new different cultures. Because during the Tower of Babel, the earth was one culture, one language, one government under Nimrod. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And the Bible certainly overrides anything that Harvard, Yale, or MIT could ever think of coming up. Family, they they found out they made a mistake on the protons, or whatever it is. They're smaller than they originally thought. So scientists, can't you get it right at MIT? Y'all have a problem with sizing your photons or protons or whatever? Because now they're smaller than they really thought. The Earth, age of the Earth keeps changing, too. They can't make up their mind about that. You know why they can't? Because they don't know. That's why they call it scientific theory. But God's got no theories. Matter of fact, our future is His memory. Now, scientists can't figure that out yet. But every one of them is going to be judged when that time comes and they've had the opportunity. That's the thing I really find amazing, though, about the Savior and about God. We're also one and the same, you know, of course. Is that even though God knows the end from the beginning, He knows who's going to accept Him as a Savior and who's going to reject Him. He already knows it. So that begs the question, why would He fool around with those He knows are going to reject Him? Because He loves them all, that's why. And He gives them ample opportunity. He gives them the opportunity to take Him or reject Him as their Savior. And all that requires is for us to acknowledge the sins we commit. Family, I have no problem with that. When I became born again, I realized what such a sinner I was. I was an adulterer, a liar, a cheater. I loved to fight, and I loved at that point to hurt people. But I justified my lifestyle with seeking out bullies. I didn't like bullies, so I justified provoking them. That was my lifestyle. It still wasn't right. But I hated people that bothered other people. I've always hated that. So I'd poke them a little bit. And that's why I saw the ultimate was to join the military and go kill people for a living. That's how I saw it. I saw that's a service to God. Somebody's got to do it, and I didn't see any problem with it. So that's my story in real short. But, see, so I'm not innocent by no stretch of the imagination. I've been there. Other people's got other stories. Drugs, prison, whatever. We all have something. You see? But Jesus Christ died on the cross so those sins would be forgiven. Because He chose to create us, create the world. Didn't create us. He knew already. But here's my point. He knew who was going to reject Him and who's going to accept Him. He already knows that, who. But because of His love and fairness and just, He gives them all ample opportunity, knowing they're going to reject Him. You see? That's amazing, really. He wishes that none should perish. Some cults actually believe that because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, I can do anything I want now. Well, that's not so, by no stretch of imagination. Mm-mm. When you feel guilty, that's God talking to you. Y'all understand that? God never says anything to me. So you like stealing? Oh, no, I ain't doing that. Why not? Why don't you steal something? Might go to jail. Oh, okay. Is that the only reason? Well, that ain't the right thing to do. Really? So do you feel bad when you steal something or think about it? Yeah. Well, God's talking to you. We never think about that, do we? You want to hear from the Savior? Think bad thoughts. And don't you feel good, like a weight's taken off your back when you admit that to God? Not to a priest, for goodness sakes. The priest wears underwear. It's probably got skid marks on it. Family, a priest is nothing but a human being. He's got his own problems. Trust me on that one. Human beings, you don't admit your sins to human beings and expect them to forgive you. It don't matter if they did. It means nothing. But when Jesus Christ does, it means everything. And He did on the cross of Calvary. He forgave us of our sins. But the thing is, I have to acknowledge my sins. You see, if I acknowledge them, and not speaking in tongues neither, I acknowledge what I've done to him, he says, oh, then that means I've accepted that I was wrong. That's humility. Then you say, okay. And then he's going to help you along the way, but you're still going to sin sometimes, that thought. But he always knows, because you know why? Because he's inside you. You can hide behind a tree, under a rock. God keeps this planet, this universe together like glue. He is the universe. But he is also a loving, caring God. He keeps all the particles together. He's even in the universe. He's outside the universe. How that works, I don't have a clue. I just know it is. I don't care that I don't know. I just know he is. It's way over my pay grade anyway. That's his business, not mine. My business is a great commission, like all of y'all, to spread the word of God and divine appointments. Loving God. Can you imagine? You see these sports things going on out there? And they get all their faces all painted up and mohawked and orange hair and all this and all that going on. And everybody, I mean, tens of thousands of people in one big stadium. And they're just, can you imagine if they all felt that way over Jesus? Really? And then the game's over. Now what? Game's over. Everybody just goes, there's go winners and you got losers. And somebody gets some big old trophy that they'll all kiss and touch and all this and all that and yuck. But anyway, it's all got slobber all over it. And 24 to 48 hours, what? Celebration? Okay, 48 hours, I guess. And those that's not been involved, it's pretty much over, and they start looking to the next Super Bowl. I guarantee you. Yeah, man. When they start walking out that stadium after the, assuming no false flag's going to happen. That's another story anyway. But let's say this goes along, and no sooner it's over, and whoever, I don't even know who's playing, whoever plays wins. I bet you they didn't walk out that stadium and said, well, I bet they'll be back for next year, Super Bowl. Who thinks going to win next year? On the way home. They start talking about the Super Bowl. Then they get out their fantasy football game. Oh, here we go. Oh, what comes next? Basketball. What comes next? The pennant. Satan keeping us busy. Did you know that the baseball field? Look it up. Look at the baseball field. Y'all know what a Masonic logo looks like? Square and a compass. G in the middle. Square and a compass overlaid each other, right? Look, put it up on your computer right now. Masonic logo. Compass and square and G. Well, let me put it to you like this. Doubleday, who created baseball from a European influence in 1860s something or another, was a Freemason. And put it in perspective, the G of the middle of the compass and the square, hey, that's a pitching mound. And each place where it crisscrosses, that's the basis. For a second and third. Nine players, three outs. Now you got it. Now you know why I call it America's home sport. It's Masonic logo being played on the baseball field because the baseball field is a Masonic logo. Oops. Ruh-roh. You know when they score a touchdown and the referee throws his hands up in the air and palms facing each other? Third degree sign of joy and exultation. That's a Masonic sign. Right out of the textbook. Did you know when you come to the end of a race is a black and white checkered flag? Did you know the black and white checkered flag is a reproduction of the black and white checkered floor in every Masonic lodge. You know what that stands for? It's a concept of duality. Good and evil reside in the same body, in the same sphere. It's good and evil to have a balance. That's black and white checkered. And also, the black and white checkered has a lot to do with changing the frequency vibration of the ones going over their initiations. Colors affects frequency vibration of DNA. So they tell them each degree you're getting closer to enlightenment and godhood, because they're on the checkerboard floor when they get their initiations. Yeah, how about that? Did you know that before the 1940s, it started with the black schools, the children in black schools first, back in, I forget when, 1920s, 1930s. They say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Corporation of the United States of America Incorporated. You say the Pledge of Allegiance, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag, blah, blah, blah. You know how they did it? Right hand outstretched, palm down, just as innocent as you please. And then they moved the Bellamy salute, which is Heil Hitler, to the white school, so everybody's doing it now. I pledge allegiance to the flag. You might as well say Heil Hitler. That's the 1930s. And they didn't achieve their plans of making a world government in 1939, 1941. It failed for reasons I'm not going to go into right now. Or my regular listeners, aren't you proud of me? I didn't go down that rabbit hole. I'll be here for 30 minutes. But they changed it from the Bellamy salute, Heil Hitler. There's a reason why they did it that way, by the way. It has a lot to do with fascism and communism and the fact that we were going to be made a fascist state. FDR, that piece of work, when they planned Pearl Harbor in the 1920s, by the way. FDR, his cousin Churchill, you heard me correct. And the Japanese elite at the highest level was planning Pearl Harbor in the 1920s. We've had every president a traitor of our country, every president since George Washington. Several have backed down. Some tried to warn us at the end of their administration. Lincoln, McKinley, JFK were assassinated for trying to warn people and take action. Garfield was just a bad character and just got in the way, long story short. Every president is linked up and controlled by the Vatican since George Washington to Obama. Nixon had his own plans for a military coup. Bush thought he was going to be the one. Reagan, piece of work he was. And Carter, another universalist, both of them, Luciferian. And that's absolutely correct. Family, our history is completely, totally fabricated. Now, here's the problem, though. They want you to know it now. That's the tricky part. They use the Alex Joneses and Quayles and Dizdars and all these guys. Their plan is to show you how worthless the government is. It's called the dialectic. So now we'll give you the good parts. See how evil our government is? Yeah, well, that's what they're for, to show you that. But not take you to let them know that the Vatican's evil, Knights of Malta's evil, Knights of Columbus is evil, because they're secret societies. They ain't telling you that now. Not at all. They hold back things, you see. Well, anyway, back to Bellamy salute. So when Hitler failed in his, and he got a power lust, see, God turns them over to their own lust. God's in control, man. God's in total control. Satan is so frustrated because God already knows the end from the beginning. So God turned Hitler over, allowed his power lust to take control. Therefore, destroyed any plans that Satan had of making this a world government. World War I, destroyed. World War II, destroyed. So it was subliminal. It was under the current, under the carpet controlled, but never publicly controlled where we would know it. That's how it's always been. Anyway, so the Bellamy salute, and so when it failed, they had to go to something else. Here's my point, finally. The right hand stretched out, straight out like Heil Hitler. Over the left breast, now the palm is on the breast, the left breast, in over the heart. Well, that second degree sign of fidelity in the Freemasons. Hand out Bellamy salute is Roman, the Roman Empire. So they have to go something else. When their plans failed to bring Hitler as a world leader, the Vatican failed. See, Hitler was Roman Catholic. Adolf Hitler, in fact, was second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II. Stalin and Churchill were all second cousins under the Rothschilds. As a grandfather, great-grandfather, just a mess of humanity interbreeding with each other with a certain DNA. Now, look all this up. I'll have this downloaded on my archives. You go back or not. I mean, suit yourself, but everything I'm telling you is documented. They brought Hitler over. And see, all this is coming out now, though. That's the funny part about it. This stuff we've known for years, but now they're starting to release it. It's coming out. Hitler came over to the United States in around mid-40s. He died around 1965, 66. Hitler did. Now they're letting you know that the major Nazi war criminals were snuck in the United States under Operation Paperclip. This is common knowledge now. Nuremberg was just a exercise of futility. And kind of the same way they blame the bankers and Sanduskis and Bernankes and all these others. They're nothing but shoeshine boys. All they do is tie the knots in the shoes, man. That's all they do. They're nothing. They're throwaways, just like the Jesuits. Yeah, the Jesuits are involved, but the Jesuits are throwaways, man. They use them to cause trouble, kill people, murder and rape, and whatever else they do, the Jesuits. Oh, yeah. But then when they get out of hand or whatever, they kill them. That's all they are, just soldiers for the Vatican, like Ustasha back in World War II. The real evil is the highest level of secret societies. The real evil is your royal blue bloodline families of kings and queens and what have you. And then those CEOs, those presidents and prime ministers that attend Bohemian Grove. The elite is special, of which you're in the tens of thousands, is the enemy, in and of themselves, actually. But they are defeated already. That's why the control of NSA, CIA, because they don't have control. Oh, I know they got cameras and drones. You know, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Is they got, which state was it? Colorado or one of those states out there, Wisconsin? I don't know where, off the top of my head. I'd have to look for it right now. They have drone, I kid you not, drone hunting license. You go buy your license, you go kill a drone. Now, you can't eat the darn thing. And what are you going to do when you shoot it down? Take it in with a serial number, say, well, I found me a drone here. Can I get my money for it? You know, yeah, they do. Look it up today. Drone hunting license. It's getting ridiculous. You've got good people out there, a lot of them in the Freemasons, in the militia, that really mean well. They mean to help people. They mean to fight for their country and all that sort of thing going on, you know. But they don't understand what they're up against. They don't understand that there's 22 suicides per day of military personnel coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. 22 suicides per 24 hours. That's not normal in any war, any time. This is orchestrated. Why? Because they have UN troops already here since 1991, 92, 93. Actually, since 1970, but enforced between about the late 1990s. Our presidents have all been involved in bringing them over. Treason within is understatement. I'm not going to start talking about the multi-jurisdictional task force, but and the use of felons that they're going to use for national police. All that's coming, but they won't launch it until they have total control. And they know they can take total control. And guess who's in control of that? God is. Because until it's time, they will not be allowed. How they do this? By changing the legislation, changing the laws of the states, of the countries, even though it's a facade, by officially changing the laws of the nations, to go against God as a law, now you got something going on. And they know that. Because when you change the laws, you lose the opportunity. God will pull away. When he pulls away, kind of like you put your hand in a bucket of sand and you pull it out and leave a hole. Well, you don't. The sand fills it up. You put your hand in a bucket of water, pull it out, it's going to fill it right up. When you move God out, evil fills up the vacuum. And that's when you better buckle up. And that's exactly why, in specific terms, the same-sex marriage hit its highlight in the 2013. Don't you notice that there's a campaign in 2013? 17 states and counting. Every day, articles coming out. And homosexuality, whether you like it or not, is against God's laws. I mean, it just is. Sure way to cut population down, that's for sure. Say the least. We weren't made that way. And if you were an atheist and you believe in evolution and this world created itself out of nothing, okay, and the animals created themselves by evolution, whatever, you know, you have doctor degrees in Norway, Sweden, or somewhere up there. These are doctors out of college. I mean, real professors, not from some tabloid. They were actually arguing. I got the article somewhere. They're arguing, no kidding, about, I couldn't believe he was arguing this. It was a serious argument, discussion, debate, about which evolved first, the butt or the mouth. Because what goes in the mouth goes out wherever, you know. These actual scientists, biologists or whatever, were discussing which do they think evolved first. You got to be kidding me. But no, they were. Debating which happened first, the mouth of the butt. This world gone crazy. And these call themselves scientists? Of what? This plan called the New World Order. Nothing human could ever have developed. It's impossible. And that was a conclusion that came down in 1955. William G. Carr, who wrote Red Fog Over America, brought his evidence before this clergyman. And the clergyman responded, and I could read you the full quote if somebody wants to hear it, but I'm moving on. That nothing human could have been so perfect in this planning. You have convinced me, he said, that this is the plan of Satan. Supernatural is real. Aliens are a load of crock of crap. That's all it is. There's no aliens out there, family. These are fallen angels, and they're demons in physical form that they've manufactured out of manipulation of DNA. Make a long story short. They cloned a pharaoh in 1985. Did y'all know that? Sure did. Take out the cell, put it in the egg, bzzz, little shot going on there, put it back in the womb, and you got yourself a pharaoh body. Now you do a little mind control going on, and out it comes. And the demon that had that body before goes right back in. Now you got reincarnation. But it's a little bit of manufactured reincarnation. This is not science fiction. This is old stuff. Now, I really threw something together there in the past 5 seconds there that took a lot of research. I just don't have time to go over all of it. You know, David Wilkerson literally was the last real evangelist to live. The ones we got today, I don't know of one of them today that I'd put two pennies in a hat for. Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, they said they're Illuminati. Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason. You've got Copeland. He's a 33rd degree Mason. Pat Robinson, Mason. You got Robert Schuler's a Mason. A lot of them are Knights of Malta, Freemasons at the highest level. And they lie to the lower level Masons. You have good people in the Masons. They want to help people, but they're part of the brotherhood that's taking a blood oath that should have been a clue in the first place. But they don't understand that the Freemasons are going to hurt the Freemasons. They don't understand this. You see, this is a Luciferian agenda. Be ready for the Roman Catholic Church to crash. And that will ring in the New Age movement. For example, evidence. Teilhard de Chardin was a Jesuit priest, a very high-level Jesuit priest. Teilhard, T-E-I-L-H-A-R-D, little D-E, Chardin, C-H-A-R-D-I-N, something like that. And he was the father of the New Age movement, which is certainly contrary to Roman Catholic Church. But he was the father of the New Age movement. In perspective, guess who the mother was? Helena Blavatsky. And guess what Hitler read, no pun intended, religiously? Helena Blavatsky was his hero, or should I say more appropriately, heroine. H-E-R-I-N-E. As his Joan of Arc was Helena Blavatsky. Adolf Hitler was Roman Catholic and member of Theosophical Society. You got the point here, what's really, really going on today? All that is going to go by the wayside. Because you see, David Wilkerson, all indicators are he was murdered. When you do the research on it, you'll find why. Because he was a stickler for the key word of God in the King James Bible. And he wouldn't back down like all the rest of them are. He was still preaching the word of God and doing something about it. He is showing people about repentance. He's identifying the false prophets and the false preachers. He wasn't backing down. And he was not taking up with the National Council of Churches or with the 501c3 nonsense. And he wasn't joining the national this, that, or the other. He was a powerful man like Bill Cooper. Real truth tellers. Now something happens to real truth tellers. They die. But then God takes them home. They don't belong down here. They do what they're supposed to do. Then God brings them home. They're coming back. Because this world's turning evil, ugly, fast. But right now, while we're down here, it's time to gird up our loins and get down to scratching. Man, and get down to moving and get down to making things happen. Because time's going to get short. And to preach the word of God to people. And to move away from nonsense. David Wilkerson was talking about, then the end, then will the Lord come. You know, we're at the height of temptations. See it everywhere you go. Compromise is many times much hotter than it was generations ago. It's been designed that way. Satan's rigged the entire technology of our age. Every single bit of it, as I spoke about before, ironically, as I go into what I'm getting ready to talk about. Corrupting it with seduction, sensuality, lust and temptation. I know I fell for all that in my time. And being in the position I am, single and all that, I still got fire in the furnace. But family, my fire is with Jesus Christ. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. I am human. But I got to keep reminding myself of this constantly. That's okay with me. And the reason I say these things is not to bring me to light necessarily, but just so I know I'm not a hypocrite. Because I can't say these things and you all think that I'm some kind of saint by no stretch of imagination, am I? But I believe in what's real. And this is real. Well, that being said, but why do we face such a furnace, a hot, white-hot furnace of temptation today? Why are lust and sex being used to sell every conceivable kind of product? Why are there hundreds of porno websites on the internet? Who's the target of the flood of filth? And I was into pornographic stuff. To me, it didn't make any sense. I'd look at it and say, whoa, wow. Okay, but to me, it's a picture. What's a picture going to do? I had other ideas. Pictures don't do a thing for me much. I never did go to those hoochie-coochie shows because it made no good. Old men out there sitting throwing money on the thing, and I'm like, what? Up there dancing? So what? You know, like a date. Now, I don't want to, you know, just there to look, gawk. And, you see, that's the way I was back then. So I didn't get into fantasy stuff. But there's something to do. The churches aren't teaching people today how to walk in the faith. They give them Dr. Feelgood messages and make people feel good when they sit there. Do the water, you know, dip and duck head up and down. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now give me your money. There's my money. You see, I hear my money. They hold it up and down into the pot. Yeah, I feel good today. Wow, I gave money to the church. Oh, okay. Even though 10% tithing is no longer in effect, hadn't been for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Sabbath is every day, not just Sunday or Saturday. I've proven that over and over. Actually, the Bible does anyway. 10% tithing and Sabbath was for the Old Testament. You see, Jesus Christ fulfilled the fourth commandment. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath rest. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, tells you what to give and to who. Between you and God, and when you put a give somebody a $5 bill that needs food or something, or you take money to the Red, wherever you take food or something, clothing, or you help somebody, God sees that. That's all that matters. Church don't care. Church don't need. They just want your money. That's all they care about. Where there's two or more, that's your church. Religion is not about God. Religion is to hide Jesus Christ. Well, those preachers out there, they are steering people away from the King James Bible. Oh, yeah, NIV, ESV, New American Standard, all that stuff. It's not of God. The scriptures are in there, but they removed hundreds of verses. The New King James Bible, for example, is missing 100,000 words. That's a problem. And the NIV Bible is missing 237 verses. That's another big problem. Man's not allowed to remove one out of the King James Bible. But they have. Two Freemasons at 1890s, Westcott and Hort, corrupted the Bible in subtle ways. I know, I'm on fire today. Something's going on. I don't know. Just a lot of things I got to talk about. We have a large crowd today, and I appreciate y'all coming by. It's getting bigger. You know what? It isn't the secular world, which has already been seduced. It's Satan's targets. It's none of these. Rather, he has manipulated the media to snare the hearts of overcoming Christians, to cause Christians to put spells on themselves. He wants to weaken and destroy the testimony of the gospel. He don't mind the truth being told, like your Alex Joneses and all these people. They want the truth being told. They have to tell you the truth. They do it in devious ways and redirect you toward the 100% of the truth. They're real sneaky about that. But when you start heading like Bill Cooper did, see, he was a bloodline Illuminati. Did y'all know that? Bill Cooper was bloodline Illuminati, and they're going to use him as controlled opposition. But Bill Cooper got born again. Oops. Uh-oh. Wasn't expecting that one. That's why he became a dangerous man, because he brought Jesus Christ into the mix. Oop. Big problem. Then he became a real dangerous man for them, because he was telling the total truth. He is uncontrolled. They want to destroy and weaken the testimony of the gospel. Make you sit in church and think you're being told a lesson like Osteen and all these others. and yet you're not being led down the aisle. You're not being led when you get home to cry like a baby and give up your ghost, give up your spirit to God. Say, come inside me and take over, Lord, and drive me like you want me to go. They don't want you doing that now. So they placate us with all this so-called knowledge. Put the fear of you in them, into you. Cause fear, and fear is what? Fear is a lack of faith. Worry is what? A lack of faith. That's what they want. I say stick it up your wazoo. Because I know Jesus Christ is coming back. And I know they've lost. I feel sorry for them. That's why I try to preach what I can preach when the Lord gives me an opportunity to do it. You see? Because you don't want to ever say to someone, go to hell. Because words are not idle. And even the worst enemy, the worst human being you can think of, mass murder, whatever, man, you really don't want even him going to hell. It's not our place. It's God's place. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's his business. Our business is to witness to these people. You don't want anybody going to hell. You can't even imagine. No one can imagine how bad it is. You just can't fathom. And it's for an eternity. That's why he wants us to love everyone. Because when he knows, when the time comes, it's over. He's no longer our intercessor to God. He's a judge. And there's no, that's, it's done. You can't go before the throne anymore. Once you're dead, your soul goes to heaven or goes to hell. Your body goes to the ground until the time is taken up. But it's set at the death. One time, one man to die, and that's it. Then the judgment. That's it. You can't carry what you did back here on earth with you. It's been done. You better start now looking to save you. You're going to run out of bullets. You're going to run out of... You have no leaders up there at Benevolent. There are no leaders. None. I mean zero. Literally. Minus zero, if it's such a thing. They're all contained by the Illuminati. Freemasons. Knights of Columbus. Knights of Malta. Etc., etc. All secret societies. And listen, it is documented in their own writings and plans that once the great white brotherhood, the highest level of Illuminati, the fallen angels, and the highest level of Illuminati have total control of the world governments, etc., then they're going to themselves, they're going to eliminate all secret societies. They don't need you anymore. So when they're telling you they're going to make you saints, they're lying to you. Just like Swedenborg said, they're lying to you. You better take heed. Those in the Wicca and those in the Freemasons level, this is a promise. This is a guarantee. 100%. But they want to weaken and destroy the testimony of the gospel. That's what they want to do. And that's where they're attacking the King James Bible. Right now, the furnace is being heated. 7 times over the lives of many believers, Satan's created situations in our homes, our jobs, relationships that are more intensive than ever. And you know, once strong Christians are giving up, quitting on God, because they no longer pray for help. They think, my trial is too intense for me to survive. No, it's not. Because he'll never give you more than you can handle. When you go to Daniel 3, and you'll read where God turned the devil's scheme into an opportunity to expose the whole nation of Babylon. And this to his testimony. America's not Babylon. Nathan Leal is wrong. Dead wrong. We're not Babylon by no stretch of imagination. Man, we're not even a country. We have no money. We were broke back when FDR took us off the gold standard. Not Nixon. FDR did. That piece of work. He planned a military coup in 1933-32. I got his quote, March 4th, 1939, confirming he's going to make a dictatorship and to hell with American people. That was behind closed doors. I got the actual quote taken down by Senator Lundeen, Well, March 4th, 1939. Family, things aren't not what people believe, understand. When you do the research, you'll find it. The most amazing story behind the scenes. We're not Babylon. Man, we're not even daughter of Babylon. We're like a puff in the wind. We're like a spit in a bucket of water. America is nothing but a colony of England today, like Canada and British Israel and Australia. That's fact, too. Constitution was rendered null and void in 1938. How come Arpaio and Judge Napolitano and all these other folks don't know this? Or are they just lying? We don't have a Constitution. Tompkins versus Erie Railroad is rendered null and void in a federal ruling. Democracy, well, according to FDR in his quote, 1939, confirms we've never had a democracy, been fighting it for nothing. Now, I got a problem with that, but those are the facts. Family, this is all about God coming, Jesus Christ coming back. It's not about country. It's not about sovereignty. It's not about all this other stuff. It's about Jesus Christ getting back here and stopping all this. It's only through him it's going to happen. No man living today, lived in the past, or live in the future will ever bring a benevolent government except King James was the last one. Actually, the first one. I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, in Daniel 3, three young men would not bow down and the Lord delivered them. They brought to the nation a clear manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four, and one is like the Son of God. How do you know that? That was the Old Testament. How do you know there's a Son of God? Because God put on his heart to know. He put three in, there's four already there. Because Jesus Christ was with him in the Old Testament. Before he came in the usual way. You know, the king of Babylon testified, did we not cast the three men bound in the midst of the fire? Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, Daniel 3, 24, 25. I'm sorry, it was the king of Babylon that said that. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. That's, you know what he did? God changed their DNA from flesh to supernatural right then and right there. Think about it for a minute. How did flesh survive the fire? It didn't. God changed through faith. How did Peter walk on the water? Because his faith, okay, changed his DNA. He could walk on the water like Jesus did, but when he lost his faith weakened his DNA quality, and he started sinking, didn't he? I mean, that's what happened. His faith caused him to fail. In this case, almost drowned. But Peter was walking on the water. Save me, Lord. He's already out there. He started getting scared because the waves told him he would fail. He believed the waves and not the Son of God. But the old king here, he nullified his first decree of idol worship, which I want to talk about today if we get around to it. Idol worship is patriotism, I'm afraid to tell you, but it is. Flag. Sports team. Super Bowl medal, honor, trophy. Oh, that's idols. Family, if they drop that thing, it's 1,000 pieces, then what? Get another one? Yeah. Every nation, every people, every language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, he says. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Let me say this again. The king nullified his first decree of idol worship and issued a new decree. He said, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language would speak anything against or amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Verse 29. The faith of those Christians in the Colosseums in Rome, their faith for centuries led to, around the 2nd and 3rd century, people in the stands started converting. That's why Satan had to bring in Constantine to give liberty to the Christians and control them by designing Christianity to control the Christians, since their death brought conversion in the stands. Satan has lost this war. He has to keep changing up until Jesus takes control perfectly. That was the purpose of bringing Constantine in the Council of Nicaea. To control the Christians, he had to create a religion. And then the Vatican, to control the children of Ishmael, had to what? Create a religion. In the 6th century, the Vatican created Islam as a religion to control those Arabs who would not come over to Roman Catholicism. A lot of them did. For those that didn't, they created a religion. It's called Islam in the 6th century. Muhammad was prophesied to be the Messiah. Muhammad, the prophet. Are y'all sitting down? Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II through King Edward IV, his marriage into the kings and queens of Seville and Portugal, of Muslim kings and queens. King Edward IV put Muhammad the prophet in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. That's true. How about that? Same bloodline as Charles Maine, King John, Attila the Hun, all the leaders throughout most of our history has been the same bloodline of the Merovingian bloodline and linked up to the tribe of Dan, going back to Jacob. Oh, and the pharaohs. No, it's not a rock band either. It's all true. Isn't that amazing? How far back this goes? I got details for all I've told you, but I'm just covering the part of it. But it all happened because the testimony of three men, righteous lovers of God, who were willing to lay down their lives in faith. See, they didn't know God was going to help them. Stephen, he got taken. He got stoned while Paul held his clothing. But then Paul got converted too on the road to Damascus. He repented. Things are going to get hot economically. Somewhere this dollar is going to crash. Worldwide reset of finances. It's coming. But things are going to get hot physically, mentally, economically, spiritually, and every which way. But God's already put his hand on separated godly men and women in every place, and his gospel will be preached as a testimony. Then the Lord will come. It ain't no blood moon. Hagee's full of baloney. It's not some feast of this or feast of that or trumpet here, trumpet there. Lickety-split, Irma Fudd's coming to town. No, sir. It's when God has allowed or caused the preaching to be in every corner of this globe. He's brought the last word to mankind. Then end will come. The man of sin will be revealed and the falling away will take place. And Katie bar the door. It won't matter. The door will be broke down anyway. It's coming. Only a matter of time. And you will not escape by death. Only through life. Life through eternal. In Jesus Christ. Then the Lord will come, when the word has been preached to the four corners of the globe. Now, I want to talk about here toward the end. We've got 30 more minutes to go. And we'll get to the King James, as I said I would. One thing I want to remember. The Antichrist, the generic name right now is called Maitreya. Hadn't happened yet. They're laying the groundwork. Coming shortly. Take the place of the Kalki Avatar, the Lord Maitreya, Imam Mahdi, Prince of Peace, the Krishna, the Christ, Bodhisattva, will take the place of one person, Maitreya. Maitreya will be the Antichrist, the false prophet, Sananda Emmanuel. The one will call himself Yeshua or Jeshua, and that's why they want to get you used to it. Christian Identity, Herbert Armstrong groups, Arnold Murray and all those people. They're lying to their people too. Big time. You know Stephen Hawking, that genius guy? He now says that black holes don't exist. I kind of wish they'd make up their minds. I thought these people were supposed to be some kind of geniuses or something. ACLU alleges comically unconstitutional religious harassment in rural Louisiana school. So the ACLU is focused on religion. It's a Jesuit organization. NAACP, a Jesuit organization also, focuses on stirring up racial disturbances. That's their purpose. ACLU, their assignment by the Jesuits is for religious issues. That's what they're for. KKK is to murder, kill, and destroy. The Black Panthers, same thing for the blacks. See, all these organizations, ACLU, every single one of them work for the same people, and some of them don't even know it. Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Mossad, BND, CIA, NSA, Permadex, the whole doggone lot of them work together. So when you have Snowden, who's a so-called truth teller, you got to be kidding me. Or Assange, no. They're allowed. They want to let you know what's going on, but then they start talking about some other nonsense. He's not afraid of getting killed. When they want him dead, they'll kill him at the time they want to. The Russian Secret Service works with the American Secret Service, and they're using him as a pawn. He's protected as long as they need him, and then they'll just kill him. Right now, the Russians are protecting me. That's the biggest load of garbage I've ever heard in my life. He's no hero. No stretch of the imagination. He's telling them people what he's told to tell. It's called controlled opposition. This is how they do it. Now, tomorrow I'm going to cover some more of the headlines. Let me look here right quick. Something really... Edward Snowden says U.S. Secret Service wants to kill him. Oh, give me a break. And then you had the doves released the Vatican as a gesture of peace, attacked by vicious seagull and crow. Oh, I'm sure y'all believe that, right? They did, but it's I don't know how often that happens, but all this is just a bunch of baloney set up. And church hires J.K. Rowling. You know Rowling, right? She's into witchcraft. She wrote Harry Potter books. Definitely channeled. She is, in fact, a witch. I mean, ordained. Now they want her to rewrite the Bible. There's a church out there hires her to rewrite the Bible. Do I need to explain that? I don't. Then I found an article, just played a hunch. Sure enough, Catholic Church stands up for Harry Potter, unquote. I found that about a year ago. I mean, I found that the article about a year old. Then there's an article come out, Harry Potter, Harmless Christian Novel or Doorway to the Cult. And you got these generals fired that are taking up. What they're getting ready to do is balkanize America. Nixon set this up with Executive Order 11647 when he's getting ready to set up a dictatorship with General Cushman. Oh, yeah. He signed Executive Order 11647. And then the next year, 73, Executive Order 11731. And then military coup of the government, Executive Order 11495. Obama's just a continuation. Nixon set up the Balkanization of America. 10 regions, 5 states each, with a UN administrator in charge and a governor controlled by the UN administrator. Y'all know that? It's a fact. Slam dunk. And they moved that order into FEMA transition 2009 under FEMA. That's where Reagan, another liar and movie star, and Carter, another universalist and New World Order. Definitely not Christian. No way, no how. They're all part of this Illuminati. And the Star Wars thing is another story. Family, we've been fooled big time. That's okay. It's over. Now let's move on. You see, and get ready. Because Jesus is coming back. And they lost already. Here's an article came out. Israel to destroy Dome of the Rock Mosque on Temple Mount. Time for Third Temple to be built. See, your Jonathan Clicks and all these say no. Nope, they're wrong. It is going to be rebuilt. Another article came out. 2300 year countdown to Jesus Christ's return. Nobody knows the day of the hour. You see what they're doing with all this nonsense? All they're trying to do is cause hate, discontent, and fear. Well, family, I hope I'm not too intense. I'm not intense, really. This is really laid back, actually. I just feel somewhat of a, I don't know, an urgency. Especially, you know, yesterday, when I went out and about, I mean to tell you, in the morning and early afternoon, the entire sky was like 30 or 40 chemtrails. It was massive, and also in Burlington, I'm told, by some sources I have there. I mean, they really hammered this area in North Carolina with them chemtrails. Big time. Y'all need to look that up, about chemtrails, how they intermingle with HAARP. So they got something going on. I don't know what, but whether it's 3D holographic imagery or the, who knows, whatever, mind control stuff going on, it's real. It really is. Those that's my regular listeners and those that's your own researchers by your own right, y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm telling you right now, North Carolina, they hammered us in the mountain area. Big, serious. It was like cornrows and like a screen wire door. It was so bad yesterday. So they've never done it that bad before. And I even got phone calls from people and sources I have assets I have in Burlington and Greensboro, said they were hammering us bad. I said, well, they did us too. Way off the scale. Family, the King James Bible is the only true word of God on the face of this planet. That's a fact. And I couldn't say that if it didn't have the evidence. So while these preachers don't, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're thinking, but they better get their heads right because they're misleading thousands. And I'd rather be a murderer, a mass murderer, than I would be a preacher misleading a flock because God is going to hammer them hard in the judgment. They have no idea what God's going to do to the church members that lie and distort the true word of God. This is not a game they want to be messing with. This is serious. The King James Bible, you see, they try to say that King James was pedophile, that he was a homosexual, a pedophile, a Freemason, and all this. I submit my opinion here. I can't think of a historical I've done a lot of historical research, like a lot of you have. But I cannot, for the life of me, when I got to think about it one day, come up with any government really in our history of mankind that I can think of that was actually benevolent. Except King James reign. It didn't dawn on me about that until fairly recently. I said, wait a minute, that's really the only true monarchy that was benevolent in all of history of mankind. Now, you could include, I guess, during the period of King David and so forth. I mean, I guess that's arguable. Solomon, what happened to him? Oh, bad news. They have one busy boy, 700 wives and 300 concubines. He liked to live dangerous, too, I guess. But in any case, he went sour. What'd God do? I don't know. That's God's business. I don't worry about it. But I tell you right now, no book, no Bible, none of them can stand up to the scrutiny that the King James Bible went through and how it was delivered to King James. But the fact here is, about King James specifically, I'm going to let one of these, I found a YouTube that I went through several times, and that although it's a mechanical voice of sort, it does tell you the truth about the King James Bible and about King James. So I'm going to play that for you. And that's the beauty of me having my own network right now, is that I can do what I want to and play what I want to when I want to, or just don't play no commercials because I don't have anything. And I don't want to have anything. You don't want freeze-dried food and gold and all that kind of stuff and CDs and books. You're in the wrong place. I want to get down to business. Now, I want to remind you, before I get going here, I want to remind you, tonight, 8 to 10, I'll be on Revelation Radio Network. You go on my website or you go to Revelation Radio Network, and then you'll go to the chat or the chat box there, and you'll find it, chat and listen, and you click the link, and it takes you to Blog Talk Radio. Or if you can't hear it well there, you can go to my website, and I usually record it. I keep saying tape it. We don't tape anymore, do we? I'm going to record it, but also it's simulcast on my own network. So you hear it on mine, watchmeforjesus.com. Click to listen like you are now. Live on both places. I also remind you, especially y'all up there, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, that we're played at highportradio.net, highportradio.net on a random basis. And John Kirkler, John Kirkler, at highportradio.net, plays us there randomly. And his email is highportradio@yahoo.com. So all you folks up there in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, give John a little bit of help there and help us get out there more. And we appreciate him playing our Bible studies and broadcast. Also, we're simulcast on occasion at KBLU Radio at a Blue Raven network. What else? Okay. So here's that mechanical voice, but the information you're going to hear is correct. And I found it to be a really good little summary about King James, and we'll move on. Here we go.
Certainly not. No way.
Okay, was King James a homosexual? Okay, that's what this little guy is talking about. King James was not a homosexual, and this guy's going to explain about that regard. And then after it's done, I'm going to come back at you. We'll be back. Here we go.
This is nothing but a malicious, false, accusational propaganda, garbage, trash, and rubbish phrase that has nothing but brainwashed generations of people. First, I'd like to state that my roots actually go back to England. So I feel that it's really a good position for me to take in talking about this. Here's what happened. King James I of England, whom God used to give the now famous King James Bible to us, was considered by many to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, monarchs that England has ever seen. Through his wisdom and determination, he united the warring tribes of Scotland into one nation, and then joined England and Scotland to form the foundation for what is now known as the British Empire. At a time when only the churches of England possessed the Bible in English, King James' desire was that the common people should have the Bible in their native tongue. So that's what happened in 1603, when King James called 54 of history's most learned men together to accomplish this great task. At a time when the leaders of the world wished to keep their subjects in spiritual ignorance and darkness, James offered his subjects the greatest gift that he could give them: their own copy of the Word of God in English. James, who was fluent in Latin, Greek, and French, and schooled in Italian and Spanish, even wrote a tract entitled Counterblast to Tobacco, which was written to help thwart the use of tobacco in England. But such an amazing man was likely to have enemies. Among the courts was one such man called Anthony Weldon, who was excluded from the courts for being nothing but quite disrespectful and foolish. And so he sought corrupt vengeance. It was not until 1650, 25 years after the death of James, that Weldon saw his chance. And he was the one who wrote a whole paper blackmailing James as a homosexual and pedophile. Obviously, James was not able to defend himself, since he was already gone. But this counterfeit Weldon report was largely ignored anyway, since there were still people alive who knew it was a deliberate slanderous lie. In fact, it lay dormant for years as time went on, until recently when it was picked up by simple-minded Christians who hoped that vilifying King James would tarnish the Bible that bears his name, so that Christians would turn away from God's book to a more modern translation. It seems, though, that Weldon's false account is being once again largely ignored by the majority of Christianity, with the exception of those with an ulterior motive, such as its author had. So was King James a homosexual? God forbid. No way. Absolutely not. Far from it. It might also be mentioned here that Catholicism was so desperate to keep the true Bible out of the hands of the English people that it attempted to kill King James and all of Parliament in 1605 when a Roman Catholic by the name of Guy Fawkes, under the direction of a Jesuit priest by the name of Henry Garnet, was found in the basement of Parliament with 36 barrels of gunpowder, which he was to use to blow up King James and the entire Parliament. They planned, after killing the king, on imprisoning his children, re-establishing England as a state loyal to the Caesar Pope, and kill all who resisted. Needless to say, the perfect English Bible would have been one of the plot's victims. These men, Fawkes and Garnet, and 8 other conspirators were caught and hanged. It seems that those who work so hard to discredit the character of King James join an unholy lot. I'm so glad that the Lord is truly a God of truth and justice.
Okay, that's pretty much in a summary, a good summary. What I've got to add to it is this: that this debate about the personal lifestyles of King James, the first, there can be no doubt that he had an inner passion for the Word of God. And he demonstrates this from an excerpt from a letter to his eldest son, Prince Henry. And he wrote, I quote, "Diligently read his word and earnestly pray for the right understanding thereof. Search the scriptures, saith Christ, for they will bear testimony of me. Those scriptures, saith Paul, are profitable to teach, to improve, to correct, to instruct in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect unto all good works." Now, that's what he wrote to his son, Prince Henry. Because James I also believed in the divine right of kings. He held that a monarch received his right to rule directly from God. And that comes from Romans 13. And it's true. He believed it was his own responsibility to rule according to the principles of the Bible. And there was make sure he paid attention to the good of the subjects. Now, this is unlike all the other monarchs, male and female, before and after him. They have to take a coronation oath that's based on the precepts of the Bible. but most all of them never intended to fulfill that oath. And in fact, they didn't. The coronation oath said that the king or queen in such case, in this case the king, in this case, King George III in his case, were to abide by the wishes of the people. So, when the king came down with some kind of ruling or some kind of law that the people disagreed with as a whole, they would sign a petition, and by their duly elected legislators deliver that petition, because the duly elected legislators, Congress, are nothing more than workers for the people. But we've turned it all the way around another way. We made them important, and they're not. They're nothing but servants of the people. But they've reversed that purpose. Anyway, so back then, the duly elected representatives of the people were to take that petition with X number of signatures, and the King of England, or Queen, whatever the case may be, in this case, 1700s, King George III, had to abide by the wishes of the people. He had no choice, because divine right of king and the coronation oath required them to do this by their oath. Because the coronation oath was based on the precepts of the Bible. Romans 13. Without government, you have anarchy. That's not of God. And mankind will never replace a king. God will do it. He always has. Always will. But when man does not humble themselves, or if they turn away from God, God will put in control a government that don't even know his name as judgment upon the people. That's how it really works. Well, in our day, 1700s, the so-called Fabians and your Thomas Jeffersons and your Ben Franklins and Paul Revere's and all these guys, they were Freemasons. And what they failed to do on purpose was not tell the colonists about the coronation oath. Give me liberty or give me death. All baloney. All they had to do was sign this petition and to get 1,000 signatures or whatever, and the king had to abide by that. But they didn't want them to know that. You know why? They wanted the armed revolution. You know why? Because the people had not the right to revolt. According to the coronation oath, the people don't have to revolt, because a king or a queen of the monarchy had to abide by their wishes. So they made sure that our so-called patriot fathers and all that didn't tell them this. Why? Because they wanted a war. Why? Because the war justified the loan that began in 1789. Because of 1783, 6 years earlier, we became a corporation of England. Just a corporation. And King George III, he was Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. And we had to pay back the debt. Beginning in 1789, in the 70-year bank cycle. 70-year would end. The bankruptcy, collateral, was the Washington, D.C., was collateral in the loan to the colonies to continue government. Oh, boy. That's why D.C. is District of Columbia and doesn't belong to Virginia. It don't belong to us. That's why it's a cultic. Ben Franklin, that squatty little guy with the funny-looking glasses and kite and shock and string and all that, that's baloney. He was a hellfire club. He was a Satanist. Let's call it what it is. I have to, because that's what it is. It was. So 70 years goes by. They know that bank loan's going to end, right? Yeah. 1859. Oh my, that's Civil War. What a coincidence that was. Not. Had to galvanize the country. How? It's liberty. was the call to galvanize and trigger another war. The Rothschilds, with the French on one side of the South, the Rothschilds, with the Germans on the side of the North, controlled our Civil War and made sure we fought and killed each other to make sure we did not gain our freedom, and we didn't, thanks to secret societies. Lincoln said, you know, I'm not going to take this loan. It's like, what? You're supposed to. I'm not going to. I changed my mind. Here's Illuminati. I'm going to back our money with gold, and I'm going to greenbacks and pull away. And that's why the Jesuits murdered Lincoln. Long story short, his wife, I don't doubt what she had a part in it, because Mary Todd was one evil woman. Whew. Let me tell you, Abraham Lincoln had to be one brave man. Let me tell you what. Todd is Illuminati by marriage of Astors and Todds. Yeah, buddy, that was one bad lady. They murdered Lincoln, Jesuits did, because he would not take the loan at 33% interest. That's what the war is for. But Johnson did. And guess what was collateral? All 13 states was collateral. And then the role of Lincoln was Emancipation Proclamation to begin the next. They planned the Civil Rights Movement in 1860s. The Civil Rights Movement was planned. That's what the Emancipation Proclamation was all about. You won't hear this in history books. 70 years goes by, 1929, Great Depression. That was planned in 1913. Y'all got the point here, what's going on? That's how Satan's been operating all along. Point was, coronation oath was never told to our ancestors. Because of conquest, North American continent. Sir Francis Bacon, the new Atlantis, was North American continent. To make America the melting pot of the world. Planning 200, 300, 400 years in advance, by the way. Satan is prince of this world for the time being. But that was my little rabbit hole to tell you about the divine right of kings. And that James the First was the only one, just like this little man was talking about a little while ago. And what I'm telling y'all is not very popular to hear, but these are facts. Whether you like to hear it or not, I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what's factual. I don't like none of it, but I can't help that. You know, one of the reasons King James favored a new and updated translation of the Bible was that he objected to the marginal notes in the Geneva Bible. And Geneva Bible was also corrupted. And many of these comments were not God-inspired. They were bordering on disloyalty to the throne. And King James took it serious. And yes, by July 1604, King James had appointed 54 of the world's most renowned biblical scholars and linguists of the day. They each had a solid grasp on Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English, of course. Each had written and translated, edited works in Greek, and most importantly, and each was a Christian man with a passion for the Word of God. And I'll tell you, hands down, that even though 54 were chosen, 47 of them actually took place, and 2 or 3 were murdered by the Vatican. Now, I could go into how they did this, how they divide up into 3 places, went over each chapter and verse 14 times in 3 different locations, and was watched by guards supplied by King James. However, 2 Jesuits had infiltrated toward the end of it, and a couple, I'm not sure exactly which one of the 3 areas they were located, but and all they could do, they couldn't do anything during the translation and transcription of it, but toward the end in 1610, 1611 time frame, when they were coming up with the final product, they had insisted upon placing the Apocrypha, but as a whole binder, in the middle of the New and Old Testament. They succeeded in accomplishing that, but in 1800s and something, when there was another edition being made of the King James Bible, they removed that trash called the Apocrypha. Septuagint was never considered. Douay Rheims was never considered. Latin Vulgate, The Latin Vulgate was never considered. And they accepted the Masoretic text as the Old Testament, not the rest of the Torah, which is not God-inspired. The Masoretic text, the ones done by Moses, was God-inspired. That was God talking to Moses. But after that, the rest of the Torah is not God-inspired. Just like the marginal notes written by the Puritans was not God-inspired, even though they might have been biblically sound or something. But doesn't matter. It was not God-inspired. King James. And besides that, the Vatican already murdered 70,000 to 100,000 French Huguenots in France, St. Bartholomew Massacre, then targeted England around 1588 before, about 20 years before, 10 years before, with Jesuits infiltrated into England, and the English people were not buying off on their corrupted versions. So they actually launched an attack from Spain in 1588, a Spanish armada, to invade England, but it never made it. God made sure it never made it. In 1588, storms at sea sunk three-quarters of the ships to the bottom of the ocean, and the English guns took care of the rest. The Vatican failed to make England Roman Catholic in 1588. Around 20 years or 15 years or so, just before King James came aboard, God protected his holy word. And King James put together 47, ended up being 47, and they collected about 98% of copies of the originals from Antioch that came from the Alps by the Vaudois. Yes, sir. Completely separate translation from those that came from Roman Catholic doctrine. Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, 4th century or time frame, took the copies of the transcripts from Antioch, his own little copies, and he corrupted them by design. His own copies, not the ones from Antioch, but he got copies of those from Antioch, okay? And so he corrupted them. He's like the modern-day Jehovah's Witness. He didn't like the Trinity, didn't like God was... Jesus was God, and you know, all that. He didn't like none of that. So he fixed it all. Cut and pasted whatever they did with the scrolls. Then he had them there in the Alexandria Egyptian Library. And by year 4th century, 325 A.D., Constantine declared himself to be a summus pontifex, we're round circle again, and dispatched Eusebius to Alexandria, Egypt, to collect him 50 Bibles. He brought them back to Constantine, the first pagan pope. That's a fact. He was pagan. He was worshiper of Baal. That's where you get your Christmas, your Easter, and all that. I'm sorry, but it is. I don't like telling you that, but you got to know this. So Constantine had his 50 Bibles, and one of them he took, and that became the Roman Catholic Bible. It stood for a while in Latin. And later, you have Jerome, Latin Vulgate. There I go again, Latin Vulgate. And then it's passed on up to 1800s to Westcott and Hort, who make subtle changes between 1870-something and 1890. They corrupted Bibles more. And that's the basis of every single Bible you got today, except for the King James, which by itself stands alone. Bring in the good guys, Erasmus, translated to English, Tyndale, and Wycliffe. They were the good guys. It took the Textus Receptus. Although it wasn't complete, the Geneva Bible was a good Bible in those days, but it was not complete and it was corrupted. But it's still in English and people could read it. In the year 1647, they established the Old Deluders Act. The Old Deluders Act established education. There you go. education. Why? So people could read the Bible on their own in English. God's been at work as hard as he can go. But so is Satan. And sin turned this world over to Satan, but Jesus Christ turned it back to God. But he came to us, we got to go to him. When he comes down here, Satan will be put in prison at the end of Armageddon. But that don't happen to 7 years after the peace covenant is confirmed. Daniel 9:27. First peace covenant, the first seal has not been opened yet. 7 years later is Armageddon. We're not even the first seal, and there's not a theologian, evangelist, who can say otherwise. They can say if they want, but they'll be wrong. They have no evidence whatsoever. Zero. It's 6 o'clock. What happened? Anyway. Family, we're at the end of the afternoon. And tonight, 8 to 10, I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to go as hard as I can for as long as I can. Unless something happens, I don't know. But I smell something down the road. Y'all be ready. If God gives us a pass, that don't mean we rest. You don't rest until Jesus Christ has taken Jerusalem. If I end up being an old man and doing wheelchair races at the rest home, so be it. But I'm going to keep plugging along for as long as I can till Jesus Christ comes back, or I die first. Now, that's non-negotiable. And if I got to be in a rest home with wheelchair races, I'll be throwing out tracks. No pun intended. But anyway, sit in the today and there's a lot more we can talk about King James and the attempt on his life. They killed three or four of those translators, poisoned. That's when we went from 54 to 47. A couple others got a little scared and left. And those translators, I knew it was something else. I'm going to make a flagrant statement here. Those translators in 47 were the last of real scholars in our history. Today, you don't have any scholars in Harvard, Yale, MIT, whatever, of biblical research. They don't exist anymore. You know why? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you why. Because every single one of them are humanist. That means none of their books are worth 2 cents. Now, I'll give you evidence. I can't make a sweeping statement like that unless I give you evidence. I'm going to give you evidence. And then I'm going to let you go. But I can't make a statement like that without giving some kind of evidence. In 1930, Charles Francis Potter said, I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism." Unquote. Charles Francis Potter. I'm not done. I don't have one quote. No. You'll find that Charles Francis Potter, Humanism, A New Religion, Simon & Schuster, New York, New York, 1930, page 128. In 1987, 57 years later, to show you continuity, I will quote Herbert London of New York University. He said, I quoted, didn't I? Anyway, that's silly. Quoting Herbert London, begin quote, "The strides made by Marxism at American universities is in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar," unquote. Herbert London of New York University. You'll find that in Herbert London, Marxism Thriving on American Campuses, The World and I, January 1987 edition, page 189. That's only two. Let's go three. In about 1989, Georgia Ann Geyer. You know who Georgia Ann Geyer was? Who's Georgia Ann Geyer? She was a syndicated columnist in the Council of Foreign Relations in 1993. Whoa, that's a fox in the hen house. No pun intended. Yeah, anyway. Georgia Ann Geyer said, I quote, the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities, unquote. Georgia Ann Geyer. You'll find that in Georgia Ann Geyer, Marxism, Thriving American Campuses, the Denver Post, August 29th, 1989, page B7. And at the same time, in 1989, Roger Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L, said, quote, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical, and here is Marxism-Humanism, menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels, unquote. Roger Kimball, Tenured Radicals, written by Harper and Row, New York, 1990, page Roman numeral 8. Now, I got a dozen more. I could give you. Just it goes and goes. That's what I'm saying. If they are humanist, family, John Dewey was a humanist. Horace Mann was a humanist. Both share, in some fashion, Father of American Education title. Now, that's a serious fox in a hen house. And a hungry fox, too. Now you understand. And humanists are not biblical scholars. They're Satanist, Luciferian, and their works cannot be trusted. Therefore, they are not scholars of the Bible. But the 4-7 translators were. Because God made sure his words were preserved. All 40 authors, 66 books, over a 1,500-year period, brought right to your front doorstep. It's called the King James Bible and the Cambridge Edition. And there are no others, and they can't produce them. They can read off at the mouth all they want, but they have no evidence whatsoever. Not one of them. They'll always start off, well, you got to believe the older. Or they'll say, well, the King James is okay Bible. It's pretty good. I like it myself, they say. But you got to read the original in Greek. All that's nonsense. Every bit of it is. And then they get all mad with you and they start leaving. Which is fine with me, because I go right after them when they start that cookie-cutter responses. They start throwing in the Septuagint. I had one actually tell me that Jesus used the Septuagint. I didn't know what to say next. I took my breath, and my eyes started blinking. I started wondering what kind of medication this person was on. And then it lit into him. Family, it's time to fight for that Bible. And that means by knowledge and love, witnessing. But sometimes you got to dust your feet and move on. You see, because that time's coming. Right now, this is practice. Because the times are coming down the road. Y'all be ready with the full armor of God on. Don't you be waiting around. Oh, yeah, get your freeze-dried food in your Alice pack and your grab-and-go bag and all that sort of thing. But you're going to run out of food. You're going to run out of water. You're going to run out of everything. Then what are you going to do? Don't call Dan Aykroyd. He's a deputy sheriff now. And Ghostbusters won't help you. But the Lord will. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will help you. It's coming down to it. It's coming down to it, family. Well, tonight, 8 to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. I'm going to hit the ground running again. Let the Lord lead me what I got to talk about, the vision or whatever. Vision, not division. Division's already happening with the body of Christ by other Christians, massively, including preachers, evangelists, and whatever else. And the attack on the King James Bible has increased exponentially, more than ever. Family, be strong. And help each other. Become knowledgeable. And don't be afraid to stand up for the Word of God. Now, I'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. 4 to 6, tomorrow night, Bible study. We're going to talk about deliverance, spiritual warfare, how to fight the enemy. If I left anything out today, let me know. Or if people don't agree with something I've said, please tell me. Let me go back over it. I'm not a theologian. If I'm wrong in something, correct me, please. And I'll come back and I'll correct it. I don't care. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But family, I believe when you're right, you got to speak out about it. So y'all have a great day and know that Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary. And he's coming back. And he's the only one. No Ron Paul, who's a Rosicrucian. No Rand Paul, Ron Paul, Sherapio, Napolitano, or Obama, or Prince Henry, Prince William, or Prince Dilly Squat, whatever. Elmer Fudd. Nobody's going to do it. And I mean nobody. Except Jesus himself, supernaturally, coming in the clouds. That's it. No white hats, dark hats, green hats, or top hats. None of them are going to do it. Because not every one of them's a sinner. And you don't get rid of the secret societies, you're not going to get rid of the problem. And they control both sides in every situation. But God's in control of it all. And when he's done, he knows it. Be ready. Don't wait the last minute. Like those five fixing their wick of their lamp, the bridegroom came and left five behind. Don't be the five cleaning your wick. Be there waiting when the groom comes, and that's Jesus Christ. Y'all have a great night. And get ready. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. You know why? Because he's alive. We'll see y'all tomorrow or tonight. Good night and God bless.